Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I begin, inshallah, of my brothers with the praise of Allah by saying, Inna alhamdulillahi ta'ala. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina. Wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And that translates, and he said most of it, and I'll just briefly translate that. But we like to begin with the praise of Allah by saying that verily we praise Allah, that all praise belongs to Him, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the consequences of our evil actions. And whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. And whomsoever Allah misguides, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, without partners, our sister described. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. And please ignore that. Now, that title is meaningless anyway. I did not ask for that to be said. I will edit that from the video for Director of Religious Affairs for the MSA. Not that that is something I should try to politicize or anything as that, but I don't like titles ascribed to me if you can avoid that. And before I begin, I just want to tell my sister here, who is new to Islam in person, that I can probably speak for everybody here, that we are very proud of you. It is difficult under any circumstance to be able to stand before people and talk, and any of us have to give speeches and speech classes, or as this wonderful speaker has had much experience, but all of us had that first speech, and especially a first speech when you're coming to Islam, right at the beginning, less than a month. To get up here is very difficult. It takes a brave soul. And then to talk about something that is emotional to the heart, especially, I'm not trying to say anything bad, but for a female, it's difficult. It's emotional, and I thought you did a great job. And I think you look back, years later, and you'll be a slap and say, man, they have that on recording. It'll be on YouTube, maybe, so people laugh and say, man, look, this is how I was, and we all grow through a path, and we all said funny things and whatnot, but you did a great job. And I say, I can probably speak to everybody saying we're proud of you, did a good job. Me personally, it is an honor to be standing here before you this evening, to be able to have the opportunity to discuss this question of why we chose Islam, or why I personally became a Muslim. And this is something that I look forward to the opportunity to be able to answer this question. By the help of Allah, I will try to briefly just give, a very small summary of my background or religious upbringing. And then I will, I apologize, I forget which speaker mentioned, but they had a good point of talking about Danette, our sister Danette, talking about the first encounter with Islam, and then the other things that led us along our path. So to begin with that, with regards to my background, I was raised as a Catholic. My family is a Catholic, I was raised in a Catholic background. And I don't think it's fair to say that we were your typical Catholics. I mean, we went to church every weekend. We weren't the once-a-year Catholics. We weren't the buffet Catholics, if you will. But we went to church every weekend. But beyond that, my parents, I always say that they did a great job of raising us. We led a sheltered life, which I think is good to some extent for children. They put us in private Catholic schools. I mean, every Catholics have Lent, which is about a month that they try to do some sacrifice. They sacrifice some things in their life. And they do this for a whole month. They try to before Easter. I remember every month during the school year, during Lent, and I looked forward to it, but we would go to church at 6:30 in the morning, because the Catholic school, there was the school, and then the church, and the priest, his lodging, his house, all on the same land, if you will. And we would go to church at 6:30 in the morning. I was an altar boy. I'd be ringing the bells. This is how we were raised up. And of course, try to drink a little bit of the wine and sip it when the priest isn't looking. You're kids. Not to do it, not because you want to do it bad. You're mischievous, But nevertheless, 6:30 in the morning, go to church. Then afterwards, he'd have us over at his place. Just the altar boys. There's nothing bad happening. He was a good priest. But he would have us over there. And he made us breakfast, and he was an Italian priest. And the people in the community to this day, they loved him. You know, he was a strong Italian, had a thick accent, and he made us all kinds of weird things. And it just came to mind, but it was funny. He made us fried grits. I'm from New Orleans, we like grits, but I never heard of fried grits. But anyway, he would cook for us, we'd eat breakfast, and then we'd go to school. So I really don't think, I would think that I had more of an atypical religious or Catholic upbringing in that sense. I mean, I can say that I've never even seen an illegal substance, an illegal drug. And I understand that that's rare for these days, especially many people. Even in private schools, it's very common. So that's not going to tell you a lot about my background, but with the time limitation, just that's my upbringing. I think I was brought up in a good Catholic family, altar boys, confirmed, and so on and so forth. So fast forward, and we go to college. When I first went to college, I want to tell you as far as my knowledge of Islam, I literally knew nothing of Islam. Except, I should say literally, I knew Saddam Hussein. And I'm not trying to exaggerate, I knew nothing, and I didn't care. You know, most Americans, we don't care outside our borders. I knew nothing, I couldn't tell you Allah, nothing, I didn't know. I knew Saddam just because I was raised during the first Bush War. And regretfully, we come home from school. I know it was a big thing at the time that they put these video cameras on the bottom of the planes. And it was very new at the time. And we were excited. We come home from school, we grab our dinner, and we go sit in front of the TV to watch the bombs drop. You probably did it too. To watch the bombs drop, it's sad, but this is what we did. To watch it drop and explode. It was really cool, like a Hollywood movie. And regretfully, as children, I never associated that hundreds and thousands of people were down there dying. But that was my only knowledge of Islam, Saddam Hussein. And I really knew anything. So then we go forward, and I go to college, and I met many Muslims. And I had some friends that were Muslims. But none of them talked to me about Islam, for whatever reason. I'm not going to give that assumption, for whatever reason they did not. My first encounter with a person actually trying to talk to me about Islam, those of you who heard my khutbah about da'wah, I don't give you my story, but I always mention, was a guy in my calculus class. So my first encounter, guy in my calculus class, we were the two probably geeks in the class. You know, we had hundreds on all tests. So in a weird time of week, we have that, you know, respect and communication and whatnot. We didn't really know each other. He could barely speak English. It was my first encounter completely with Islam. And we just had this connection. We exchanged hi, hellos, and what have you. One evening, we lived in the same dorm. It was one Friday night. He was coming back around 11 or so. And I was trying to be social, you know, because why go from Louisiana to New Orleans and go to college in Daytona Beach if you're not trying to have a good time? So I'm in Daytona. I'm in Daytona trying to have fun as a college student. He comes back at 11 p.m. I was like, oh, how you doing? You know, because we have this small, tiny, weird like relationship based on the class. And he's like, oh, great. So where are you coming from? Oh, I'm coming from the masjid. I was like, yeah, the masjid. I was like, some dance club, something. He was like, yeah, yeah. How was the masjid? Was it nice? He's like, yeah, it was nice. I was like, yeah. And we're talking, and then I think he realized that I was a goofball and missed something there, so he said, explain to me that the masjid is the Muslim house of worship, if you will. I think he essentially tried to make it easy in lay terms and said, essentially, a Muslim church, if you will. I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't really care. So we talked for another minute or two, and we went our different paths. We probably crossed each other again about 1 or 2 days later in the dorm, and that day, he decided to start talking to me, because I mentioned about the mosque or whatnot, the masjid. And he asked me what religion I am. When he learned I was Catholic, he attacked me, but I felt he was attacking me. But I think he was really sincere. Because from a Muslim perspective, to hear some of these Christian beliefs when they come from another country, they can't imagine that people worship Jesus. They just can't fathom this. And he was a new guy from Morocco. He was learning English. Somehow he passed it and was in the program, but nevertheless. And he knows, because he even admits that he couldn't speak English very well. I didn't understand the guy half of the time. But nevertheless, we were talking, and he just couldn't fathom these beliefs. So he was asking me, "Do you really believe this?" He would ask me, "Do I believe that Jesus was really God? Do I believe that He was Son of God?" And I was like, "Of course, you know." I put my chest out, you know. Of course, He was God. Duh, you know. And we started talking, and this was the first time that a person had ever really asked me questions that made me think. He would ask me, I mean, how could Jesus be God? As I'm about to see, this brother saved me some time here, which is good, because he went through a lot of these examples. But how could Jesus be God when he prayed to God? How could Jesus be God when, as he said, that God knows everything? And Jesus clearly established and said, according to Christians in their Bible, that he was deficient in knowledge.
Because when asked about the day of judgment, the hour, he said, I don't know the hour. Only God knows the hour. Showing a distinction between him and God. So these questions were asked to me, and I tried my best. You know, I wasn't raised like as he was, with the seriousness, if you will, or of trying to dedicate my life in that sense. But nevertheless, you know, somebody comes to you, and even if we're not strong in religion, and they want to try to attack you, and that wasn't his intention, so it felt like I was ready to go back, and we were trying to debate with him, you know? And it was nice, you know, it made me think about these things. None of them really baffled me or confused me, but again, they made me think. They were very good questions. So weeks passed, and along with talking with him, I probably talked with him just once or twice more, and that's it. We literally talked no more than 90 minutes, and so you've heard my other part of the story, going into it and here for the book of Tao. We probably talked no more than 90 minutes over a week or so. And in that meantime, my other friends, who were Muslim and never talked to me, then they started hearing that I was learning. They started, oh yeah, really? So they started talking. They give me a book here and a book there. So I was starting to learn about Islam. One of them invited me to the local masjid. Well, now that I know it wasn't a dance club, I wasn't the most excited. But I said, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's go by the masjid. So I said, okay, I drove to the masjid expecting to meet this person there. I didn't see him. I said, okay, what do I do? Okay, I mean, I'm here. Let's go see. Do I just go in? How do I act? I've heard something about shoes. Do I knock on the door? Does anybody knock on the door at these places? I was like, okay, what do I do? So I knock, you know, like a weirdo. And if I look out front, who's this white guy? So I knock on the door, and I was thinking, okay, you know what? This isn't right. This feels weird. Let me just run. But I don't want to see the white dude running, knocking at the place of worship, running away. It didn't seem like it'd be a good outcome. So I waited. 5 seconds later, somebody answers the door. And I'm 2 steps below. You step into the masjid. This thing's okay. I love the community, but they know me very well. Because, I mean, they embraced me when I became Muslim. And the person who enters the door, subhanAllah, at least this is my memory, because maybe, you know, because now when I see Muslims with beards, it's no thing. You guys probably think I created heaven's beard, maybe. But some of the guests here. But this person who answered the door, his skin was an Arab, and he had dark, dark, dark skin, huge beard, and this white though, could barely speak English. Well, I learned that in a few minutes, but he answered the door, and I looked up at him, I was like, dear God, they're going to sacrifice me. I'm not joking, it came to my mind. And I wanted to give some excuse by being like a salesperson, no, you don't want to bring them home. But I don't know, something just, I stepped in because he greeted, I'm not trying to be funny, this is actually what went in my crazy little head. So he stuck out his hand though, and he shook my hand, he said, welcome, and I told him I'm going to meet somebody here, so he invited me in. He sat me down next to some other American Muslims, some of which were raised Muslim, but several also who converted to Islam. So he gave me at least a little bit of a comfort zone. And then I met the imam, who many of us know. I've been working with the imam over there for many years, and that's how we developed such a close relationship, because basically him and I debated for several years, which I'll get to. 2 years, so I was very stubborn. But continuing, I ended up going back to the masjid many times over the next couple of weeks. Many times. And of course, it didn't hurt that the first night it did hurt why I went, because there was food being served. And when I went back over the next couple of weeks, I was like, man, my initial impression of these guys. Because I would go on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, because they said they were going to have food. I was like, okay. So I go, I was like, man, 80, 100 people going to the masjid, staying there, worshiping their Lord. I was like, these guys are awesome. I didn't care about Islam. I had no interest in Islam. I was going strictly because it was from the Muslims that they were giving me these questions that made me think. So that's what was bringing me. But I was like, man, look at these guys. 80, 100 people on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, looking back. It was Ramadan. So and now it makes a little bit more sense. And we learned that on Ramadan they had free food. We fasted in the day they had food. And so I continued going to the masjid. And I wish I could tell you that I only went there. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, I wish I could tell you that I only went there for the knowledge, but I'd be lying to you. I was single, eating cafeteria food. It was great. You know, going for food every night. But I went, and I would have these discussions with the imam. And I was there, and I wanted to disprove him. I wanted to make that first guy a Catholic. That was my goal, and then the imam Catholic. I wanted to disprove him. And of course I was ill-equipped. You know, this brother here, he would have been more better equipped to at least argue. But I would try, you know, because that's what I was there for. I wanted they were to say, I can't explain it. You know, why would you go to somebody and let them beat you? And I mean, but that's essentially because I was getting beat down, but it was just this knowledge I was seeking after. And they were making me think, and it was like a drug. You know, and I wanted to go and get more of it, but I didn't like getting beat. So every time I run back to the priest, get more firepower, and go back. Yeah, what about this? And when he said, well, this was the case, and he would show me other verses in the Bible why I was wrong. Go back to the priest. I'd go back and forth and back and forth. Now, briefly, I should mention some of the, before I mention some of these points that he and I discussed over several of these meetings, I first want to tell all of you that although I was willing to discuss with these people, is Jesus God? Is Jesus the Son of God? Is there really a Trinity? I was willing to discuss these things. So the points that he made that he mentioned, that I mentioned about the hour and other such things, Jesus praying to God, how can he be God, he's praying to God, all these things that I never thought of, these were good points. I was willing to discuss those things. But there's one thing that I was not going to waver on, and it was my constant. Okay? I can't explain it. Maybe Muslims can explain it also. Jesus was ingrained in my very being. I was going to believe in him, period. I believed he was sent from God. What was he? It was up to discussion. I still wanted to believe to the Catholic that he was God, but I was willing to maybe concede that the points were there. But that was it. I was only going to accept that Jesus was sent by God. That was not on the topic of discussion. And thankfully, as we know, Muslims believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, was a great prophet and messenger of God, sent by God to bring the people to the truth of worshiping only him and not worshiping other than him, as she mentioned, the Tawheed in the Arabic language. And we believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, is coming back on the Day of Judgment. Now he was born of Virgin Mary. So thankfully, I didn't have to argue or concede some of these things. And after a long story short on this particular point, after hearing these arguments about Jesus, peace be upon him, that I mentioned in the Bible that he said earlier, and then hearing verses in the Quran, such as the one that we mentioned today during the khutbah, where Jesus, peace be upon him, Allah said that Jesus says in the Quran that he said to his people, Inna Allah Rabbi wa Rabbukum. Verily Allah is my Lord and your Lord. Fa'buduhu. So worship him. Hadha siratun mustaqim. This is the straight path. And when we see how that lines up with the Old Testament, and how that lines up when in the New Testament, when they came to him, they said, oh, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is this, that our God is one God. And so when I saw those things, and I was learning those things, and then as I was learning about what I perceived at the time to be changes in the message of Jesus, peace be upon him, now I fully believe there were changes, I slowly began to change my beliefs, and I can quickly say I quickly left Catholicism. I, for about a year, I became a hardcore Bible-believing Catholic, like this brother. And that's the end of the story, because then mine goes on like this. No. But I was like, essentially, then I became like where he was, Bible-believing, blah, blah, blah. And I can just say, respectfully, that I don't believe that Catholicism, in general, their beliefs line up with the beliefs of Jesus, peace be upon him. So I was forced to leave. I became a hardcore, at least what I felt, a hardcore Bible-believing Christian. I said, I'm going to make my life for Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And by going to the masjid, it will actually help me. Because I'll tell you something. A lot of times in Islam, we talk about how, yeah, we don't follow Muhammad, peace be upon him, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on and so forth. And it's true, we don't. But nevertheless, as an outsider, when I was learning about Islam and going to the masjid, there was something tremendous. I was like, wow, these guys, these Muslims, who don't call themselves Muhammadans, whereas Christians, they name themselves after Christ, the one they claim to follow. But these guys, they follow Muhammad, peace be upon him, more than what I felt, Christians follow Jesus, peace be upon him. They talk about him all the time, wanted to follow him all the time, all the talk about his ahawat, the hadith, what? And they talk about all these things, these statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I was like, wow, why is that? I mean, who is more worthy of following their God? Somebody whose religion is named after them? Or these Muslims? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that and learn from it. They're making me, thank you, they're making me a better Christian. So like, whatever Jesus does, whatever he does, that's my religion. If he did it for his religion, that's my religion. And so I was getting hardcore. And they just downright motivated me. And it's just, there were so many small examples. You know, my parents, they saw these changes. They knew I was learning a little bit about Islam. They were worried, of course. But these little tiny things started changing. And I'll give just one example. There's many. And you can ask about others during the Q&A session. But one such example was just a simple example. But it profound in the meaning for me. Because my path was about learning about the changes and what I felt was the beautiful message of Jesus, peace be upon him. And so these changes, frankly, they pissed me off at the time. to know that the person I love is my Lord and Savior, that somebody had the audacity, I was angry, somebody had the audacity to change what he said, I could have fought, I was angry, I was passionate. And when I had so poor, came up, somebody mentioned it, a little issue, pork is small in the scheme of things. But they were like, when I learned that Jesus, peace be upon him, 33 years, my quote unquote at the time, Lord and Savior, never touched pork, never ate pork. He was a Jew. God said, don't eat pork. He was a Jew. He didn't eat pork. Yet, I'm from, what they say, New Orleans. We eat pork. I mean, it's like Forrest Gump and shrimp. It's like, we got pork this, pork that, pork this. I mean, pork, he goes through a whole list. Indulge in pork. And here I am, looking at Jesus, peace be upon him, does not eat pork at all, never would eat it. It was a religion. It wasn't because he didn't like the taste. It wasn't because he didn't like the smell. It was his religion. And I said, who am I going to follow? That's why I left Catholicism. I said, I'm not a Christian. Right? I'm not going to be a Paulian or a Marxian or a Lucian. I'm a Christian. And I started wearing those WWJD bracelets and everything. No, because it's good and easy. We should wear it. Not that we should wear it, but the concept of thinking, what would Muhammad, peace be upon him, do? Or what would Jesus do? It's a beautiful concept. And I started wearing those bracelets as a reminder. I started thinking, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I tried to give the sermon to my parents. They didn't want to accept it. But what would Jesus do? Go home and give me andouille gumbo, you know, with andouille, you know, a type of sausage, pork sausage. I was like, there's no way I can eat that. I'm following him. And you hear arguments. I would hear arguments. I used to give the arguments. Because when I first heard about these, and the imam and other people mentioned these particular examples, I heard the Christian arguments, because I myself was getting them. I'd say, no, but Paul said in the New Testament that we're free from the old law, and this and that, and that we don't have to follow the old ways, and that Jesus, peace be upon him, he came to free us from this burden of the law. I could preach that, not nearly as well as this brother, but nevertheless, I could try to preach it. But then the reality is, I'm not a Paulian. I said, I'm a Christian. I don't care what these people said, all due respect to them. If their message lines up with Jesus, peace be upon him, then I will accept their message. So I stopped eating pork immediately. It was clear. This was his religion. I'm saying I'm following him. Clear. That was just one of many, many examples. And so this new belief of mine, of saying I'm only going to follow him. He's my man. I'm going to follow him in everything. My habits slowly began to change. My little beliefs that I had, such as pork and other such things, slowly began to change. And all these man-made teachings slowly started, by the grace of Allah, falling off and falling off. And more would fall off. And so ultimately, I was probably just a Unitarian Christian. But like almost like a Jew, but I didn't follow Jewish law, so I didn't know it. But a Unitarian Christian, believing in the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, that there's one God and we need to only worship him. Then, so what's the difference between that and Islam? But I did not accept Muhammad at the time. Peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the only difference. So then we came to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said, okay, I line up with Islam up till this point. Who is he? Should I accept him as a messenger of God? Or should I not? And that, bottom line, if somebody wants to know the rationale and logic, that was a quick answer for me. It only took me maybe a couple of weeks, because I'm stubborn. But nevertheless, I ultimately said yes, and I accepted that. And we can go over that if somebody wants to know. But so I accepted him. And so everything lined up. My beliefs lined up. But I still was not a Muslim. You know, I was stubborn. I was hesitant to say, I'm going to accept Islam. I'm going to change my official title. So one day the imam came to me. He's like, look, your beliefs are lining up with this. You believe this, this, and this? Yes. Do you believe that? Yes. And you believe that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of God? Yes. Then why haven't you said your testimony of faith and declared yourself as a Muslim, which we learned today what that is? And I talked to him very candidly. And I said, honestly, it's the hesitation with my family. This is the one thing, that's the last thing I want to share with you guys. It says the hesitation. Not, I don't say shyness, the fear. You know, it's not that you're scared. But it's like just to be able to tell your family that you're changing your religion the way of your forefathers, and you're going to do something else. I can't say it was fearful, but that's the best word I can use. I just didn't want to do it. So I had my beliefs lined up, but I didn't want to change the title. And he asked me why, and I explained that to him. He said something. He said, look, first of all, when you first accept Islam, it's not upon individuals to go proclaim it to the world, I'm a Muslim. Because the world can put you in the corner and ask you all kinds of questions that you're not prepared to answer at this point. And then he said that to me, and he gave me the, and I was able to relax and realize, wait, I don't have to tell my parents right now? I don't have to tell my friends? No. You have to proclaim it to the Muslim community, to the brothers and sisters around you, but you don't have to go tell your family immediately because you're not prepared to. It's like a monkey came off of my back. We were in the parking lot, and they told me it was the day of Eid. And I was like, let's do it right now. He called everybody together. There's probably like 100 people. It's beautiful. He told everybody, they didn't know me by this point, you know, I've been eating their food for 2 years. I came by, they invited me, brought everybody together, said, yeah, he has become a Muslim, finally. So I go, and he does this, and so I then declared the testimony of faith. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, the one true God. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And that is it. That was my story. I became Muslim. It was very brief. We're limited with the time here, but if we have questions for any of us, we can all elaborate. Jazakumullah khair.